This week, the grills bring you a seasonal special. They're Halloween spooktacular. Cue the music.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to Geek Grills, a podcast about geeky things hosted by women. I'm the Jen, and I'm here with my co-host September, aka 9 of 12.
Wah-ha-ha-ha, I'm kidding, marry me.
And Chris, also known as Lunescence.
Hello.
Hello. Ladies, grills, so what have you been up to?
Well, I finally got to Suramar in WoW, so I'm really excited about archaeology. I know that's weird, but I really do like archaeology. I was told there's quests for it, but for some reason I'm not still getting those yet. I've been planning a route for a bike ride, which is a little weird and stressful, and I'm totally out of my element, but it was my idea, so it's on me. But I'm meeting new people and networking with, like, actual cyclists, so I like the challenge.
That's cool. And what about you, Loon? What have you been up to?
So I've been listening to podcasts, obviously. That's one of the things I like to do.
Whoa, and, you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I know. It's really weird.
What's a podcast?
This. I'd be like, well, what's this? What we're doing right now. We're just talking. So I've caught up on Slaying Demons, the podcast that Jules, it is Jules, right?
Yep. Jules Scott and Joss. Yeah.
That they're doing, and they've talked about Habitica.com before. So I decided to create an account on there to help me with, getting things done. And didn't do so great this first week because of real-life events, but I will just go ahead and start again on Monday and keep going from there. And I also finished Penny Dreadful and Black Mirror. They were awesome.
That is awesome. So I haven't seen, I haven't looked up Habitica, so I'll have to check that out myself. I keep myself on track. I started a bullet journal like about a month ago, and I love it. It's amazing.
You buy bullets and shoot them at your goals?
No. It's so it's called a bullet journal, and it's like one part diary, one part journal, one part day planner, one part whatever the F I want it to be, basically. I totally forgot I'm allowed to cuss. One part whatever the fuck I want it to be. So you buy like a journal that's like the dot grid journals instead of the one that has like lines and stuff. So with the dots, you can basically set up the layouts however you want. And it's just really cool because I can have like, I plan out my week, but then I also have like a page in there where I keep track of all the birthdays. Just like a big old blocks. So I like have it made it kind of fun where it was like little 12 bubbles for the different months. And then I just write in who's got a birthday that month so that I can be like, oh, whose birthday is it? And then I have like I have a layout page for my habit tracker where I keep track of certain habits, that I want to follow. And then I also put in my activities in there, things that need to be get done. And I don't know, it's really cool. And the reason I like it is because I find that I do better with a written thing versus a digital thing. I tend to just ignore digital things, or not be able to, like, I guess, take them as seriously. There's something about, like, writing it down and spending, like, 10 minutes a day at night making sure that I'm set up for the next day. But, yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. I have, like, a Pinterest channel or a Pinterest board where I keep track of, like, cool layouts and stuff, and I've had some really neat ones. Like, there was one layout. This is really random, but I'm going to stop. But anyway, one layout that I actually just started in my bullet journal was called Level 10 Life, where you, like, take your life and you analyze it on, like, 10 different, on a scale of 1 to 10 in 10 different categories. And then you just, like, gut feeling, like, okay, in spiritual, what am I on out of a 1 in 10? Friends and family, what I say in my life is like a scale of what out of 10. And then based on where you are on that scale, you then can like assign a goal to whatever. And I realized that like with my friends, like I put it at like a 5 out of 10 because I realized like I haven't been doing much with my friends. So about a month ago, I started this level 10 life analysis and I made a commitment to go on 3 friend dates a month. And I've been doing that. And like now I actually see friends more often. I'm having one of my friend dates today. So just to encourage me to kind of improve that part of my life. So anyway, it's really cool. I definitely recommend checking it out. If you haven't had luck with like day planners or different, I don't know, methodologies, this one seems to be really good for me and other people, and it might work for you. But yeah, I think it's like bulletjournal.com is where they like first have the video that explains kind of why it's different than like other planning, why it's just not a day planner and different and maybe better.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think it might be useful for our listeners. Go ahead and we'll put a link for Habitica and for Bullet Journal.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I'll put both in there and check them out. So I don't see my geeky universe this week. I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone. I could not get out of rank 15 forever. And so I finally got one of the Dillionaires. That's what we call ourselves when we're Dills fans. I got one of the Dillionaires. I was bitching about it and I got him to like spectate my game and just kind of walk me through playing my deck. And I realized I was completely playing my Hunter deck wrong. And just like I made a couple adjustments and then I was able to get to rank 14. And then I got to almost to rank 13. And then I lost back to rank 16 because I played nothing but shamans that were just destroying my face. So, Hearthstone's been fun though. Like I'm enjoying getting back into like knowing how to play it again, because I feel like there was about 6 or 7 months there where I just wasn't really into it. I wasn't keeping up with the cards that were out there. And now I'm like, oh, I'm into the meta. And then that's great, because now, of course, we've got the Worlds happening right now in preparation for BlizzCon. So I've been like getting excited about all that. I chose my champion. So hopefully the person I picked will win so I can like win something. That seemed to be like there's some contest that Blizzard did where you like pick who the winner is going to be in each round or something, and then you win. It's like a contest. So that seems cool. Of course, I'm watching more Bob's Burgers because it's fun. And then I have been watching everything I get my hands on Walking Dead related, like every trailer, everything. They put out this like teaser that was like a minute and a half from the episode that's going to come on tomorrow. And I was like rewatching it 15 times and analyzing it and going to like the websites where all of us on the forums are like, well, then this though, but if it happened from this angle, then it could have been so, it's bad. Just absolute geekery and obsessed. It's crazy. And then I've just been really busy making some videos for my Perfectly Posh business. I've been reading about ingredients and whatnot and just trying to help make some informative videos, for my friends and clients so that they can learn about stuff. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. It's been kind of a crazy week. So I guess that brings us to the Geek Grapevine.
Okay, yeah, BlizzCon Esports opening week competition. These are the lead ups to the big, you know, finals at BlizzCon. That starts this week. So in Overwatch, the Carbon Master starts on the 23rd. So this cast will be a little late for that, but the World Cup group stages are October 29th through the 31st. Those will be streamed at 1 central time on BlizzCon.com. So they've announced the casting talent. We've got Monte Cristo and DOA. They used to be League of Legends casters, so that should be really good. They've been doing a great job with Apex. The Hearthstone World Championship, October 26th to 30th, will be broadcast, streamed 11 a.m. Central on BlizzCon.com and on Hearthstone's official Twitch channel. So, what else? The World of Warcraft Arena stuff, group stages October 28th, 1 p.m. Central, again streamed at BlizzCon.com. StarCraft World Championship, October 27th to 29th, 10:30 a.m. Central, October 30th, 11:30 a.m. Central on BlizzCon.com and StarCraft's official Twitch channel. And the casting talent for BlizzCon was announced this week on the StarCraft II Esports Twitter. So Kespa is officially, and also, you have to check their Twitter to find out who that is. It's not listed in the article I have. But Kespa is officially disbanding the StarCraft II Pro League. And I know it's a really big deal for StarCraft II fans that have been following them for a long time, but they're citing low participation. We know StarCraft has been in kind of a lull. I'm kind of hoping there's an announcement at BlizzCon that sorts all that out and maybe fixes the problems they've been having with match fixing. And lastly, the Heroes of the Storm Fall Global Championship group stages October 26th to 28th. That'll be streamed at 11 a.m. Central on BlizzCon.com.
Holy esports.
Yeah. Super serial.
So let's get... Woo! So this is just like a preview. So little spoilers here, everyone. So our next episode is going to be absolutely Blizzard focused because it'll be a week before BlizzCon. So we're going to deep dive. There's been a lot of news in the Blizzard games this week. So don't be surprised. We're not ignoring it. We're just going to deep dive on it next week.
Now, did you see there was part of this that this sucks for the Chinese team in Heroes of the Storm. Like teams are five members. Three of them couldn't get their visas in time to come.
Oh, yeah. This has been an issue in the past, too, where they almost didn't make it before. And it's always frustrating because we just want to be able to have them participate.
Well, they can participate. They've been able to bring in three players. But now, like, the majority, like, three out of five of their players are from the third place team.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sucks for them, man.
Yeah, that's tough. I hope that they start to get some of that figured out because that was kind of an issue in the past, was it DreamHack, I think, something like that happened? Where at DreamHack, there was some issue with getting everybody there. Well, it looks like there is a little bit of news here that Loon put in our list. Oh my gosh, this picture is ridiculous. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of why I chose the story, because eagles are cool. So everybody possibly, maybe not everybody knows, but we had a hurricane called Matthew going on the East Coast. And hurricanes are no joke. That's nature at its finest and most angriest. So apparently a bald eagle. Yeah, I have a bald ego too. A bald ego somehow managed to get wedged in a front grille of a car. And while this person was driving, another motorist noticed it and urged them to pull over. They said, you have an eagle stuck in your car. So they called the authorities, and they were able to successfully and safely help wiggle the eagle out, and put it in a cage so that they could, you know, take it to a safe place so that they could put it back out into the wild and make sure that it was okay. But yeah, the picture's just crazy.
That's crazy. Also, I'm so glad that the eagle was okay. That's cool that they were like able to get them to like pull over and everything. Wow.
And on similar vein in Florida, Florida man strikes again. A guy's driving down the road in his car, and all of a sudden on his windshield, a snake popped up to say hi. So he pulled over and took a video of it. And he's actually if you're curious enough about the video to watch it, the guy seems pretty cool. Like he didn't panic. He pulled over and recorded a little video of it and got his story on the news. I guess snakes are pretty normal in Florida. So he wasn't all that surprised, but it had actually followed him from a kayaking trip that he had taken over the weekend and was living under the hood of his car that he didn't know about. So
there's the
weird animal news this week.
That's crazy. And like, honestly, I've owned snakes before and I think snakes are cool, but I don't think I'd be very calm. There would definitely be some freak out happening if some snake was just like, "Hey, I'm a snake."
Yeah. While you're like, driving down the road.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Definitely watch the video. It's, it'll be in the news links. That's crazy. So I, definitely wanted to make sure we talk about Nintendo Switch. And no, we're not indicating that Nintendo goes both ways or, anything else that might imply. Nintendo Switch is Nintendo NX, which is the new console. So we talked a little bit about this. I know it's been teased for like forever. I think it got teased originally in March 2015 was when we originally got the NX, codename NX, where we just got some messages that, hey, there was going to be a console. So here we go. We finally have some details and a release date. So the new Nintendo console will be released in March 2017. So we're only looking at, 4 months? Or, I'm sorry, four and a half months away or so, depending on what time of the month. They also released details about cost. And I just realized that my article is in pounds. Thanks, PC Gamer or Tech Advisor or wherever I am. Oh, yeah, because I'm on PC Advisor UK. Awesome. So let's do some conversion.
UK news.
I know. I really liked this article because it talked about other things, but I totally didn't realize that it was UK, which means it is absolutely in pounds. So it'll be at 349 in pounds. So let's see. Let's convert that. So that would be $430 US approximately. And it's kind of pricey. So there was some suggestion. I guess that's one of the bundles. Okay, got it. So that'll be the bundle. So it'll be about $299 for the base model, but then the bundles will be at $399 and up, which is about the, so it'll be similar to like the Wii U Deluxe, but that still seems kind of pricey. Am I right? For, I didn't expect Nintendo to be putting out a console quite that expensive.
Well, I don't think a straight conversion maybe works to give us our price points either, because the American dollar is worth more.
Oh, no, no. I just found where they actually reference what the pricing will be.
Oh, okay.
It'll be $299 for the base model and $399 for bundles. And that's the American side.
Well, it doesn't seem out of line with what I paid for my Xbox. I thought that was kind of high, too.
Yeah, but that was an Xbox. I mean...
Yeah, I do remember when the first PlayStation came out, and that was $299. And
right.
I was really proud of myself for saving up the money to be able to buy that. And then when PlayStation 2 came out, that was also $299.
Now, here's what's cool about it. Now, there are some cool things about it. So just, you know, there are reasons that it is that this is definitely different than any other. This is different than any other console ever. It's kind of like a potential to be like a tablet. So basically, the NX console, it's a home console, but also a handheld device. So it has a docking station where it plugs into your TV, and that's how it's a traditional console. But then you can actually pull it out, and it looks kind of like a tablet, can actually pull out of the console docking station, and now it's a handheld device.
And it looks like on the side of the tablet part is where you actually attach the controllers to, and you can just slide them off.
Right.
That's really cool.
Right. No, it looks really, really cool. And so you take the controller, and the controller either sits in your hand where you have two hands on it, but then the sides of the controller slide off of the controller base so that you can slide them one half of the controller on the left side of the handheld, one side on the right. So then now you're again still holding it with a hand on each side, and it's going to look kind of like I would say like a PSP maybe, as far as what it looks like and reminds me of, you know, where it's like a wide handheld device with the controls on right and left side. So definitely really interesting. It is going to have a cartridge. So like the 3DS games, it'll just have the small cartridges that'll plug in. And yeah, I mean, this is really interesting. It's definitely not what I had expected. I knew that the console had to be something interesting if they were working on it for so long, but definitely not what I anticipated, and pretty cool. So I'm excited to see kind of, just some more videos come out, kind of showing how it plays, how it functions, but definitely something different. But yeah, I didn't expect to have to budget quite that much for, the bundle if I wanted to pick it up, but I haven't really been interested in picking up a Nintendo item in a while, but this one actually has me interested. So, I mean, I have my DS, my 3DS, but this might actually get me to buy one of their consoles.
It'd be really fun to have been able to sit down at their board meeting when they were coming up for the name for this product. I'm really curious why they chose Switch. I guess because you can kind of switch it around.
Well, because you can go from a console to a handheld, so it does plays multiple roles, but I do think it's a really weird name. It's not like, I don't know. I guess it's better than like Nintendo Transform. I don't know. Like,
that would be interesting. Or Go-Go Gadget.
And it does give more information than NX or Cube, which was the
yeah, that's
one
true.
Attempt at mobility.
Or One.
Oh, yeah. You know, and yeah, so I mean, it looks kind of cool. I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued. I like to play my RPG. A lot of the RPGs I play are on my 3DS. When I do like just the solo RPGs, like the old Final Fantasy games or even, Monster Hunter Generations, for example. That's one I've been playing on my console. You know, those things are cool. And I, you know, if I can play that on a console and then also if I'm like, oh, but actually I just want to continue to play this, but not on my TV and I can just slide the controller on and take it into another room. That's kind of neat. I find that interesting. So anyway, that's a little bit more about the Nintendo console. So I believe that brings us to our discussion topic today. And since we decided to be festive, it is Halloween coming up soon. So we decided to have a little Geek Grills spooktacular. I love Halloween. Ember and Loon love Halloween. So we decided we were going to talk about Halloween and all things scary and cool and, I don't know, just all things Halloween-y. So just to start with, I always get a little bit nostalgic about Halloween, and remember being a kid and just loving Halloween. Do you have a favorite costume that either of you wore, for Halloween when you were a kid?
Well, I, for more years than I care to admit, went as a different member of KISS every year for a while. I was like the biggest KISS fan ever when I was a little kid in the 70s.
You know what's funny? That's hilarious. That just reminds me of the Family Guy episode when Lois dresses up as the KISS member that nobody ever dresses up as, and she doesn't know the words to the song.
And I totally, like, Peter Criss was also my favorite, and that's the member you're referring to.
Oh, man.
KISS was actually
the first. That's, like, my favorite episode.
Yeah, KISS was actually the first in-live concert I ever went to with my dad.
Me too. Nice. I was like 12. My mom took me to KISS.
Yes,
my
here.
First live.
That's crazy. What about you, Loon? Do you have any favorite costumes from childhood?
I never went full blown coolness or anything like that. I think, like, I've got favorite adult costumes, but when I was a kid, probably kindergarten or pre-kindergarten, I had this red hood cape with devil horns on it. So one year I went as the devil, and I think daycare or something like that, I think I got in trouble for it because I was trying to create subordinates with the other children since I was the devil. And it was just, you know, it was innocent child's play. It wasn't anything demonic or
demonic realness.
Yeah.
You know, so you got in trouble for demonic realness and other child.
I'm surprised your family let you start with that at all.
It was a cute little cape hood thing. And I had this little white shirt with these red chili peppers on it. And so I wore that and some red pants. So that was weird.
So I was really lucky. My mom used to make me a costume every single year. And she would make just the craziest. She used to just make like, she would, anything I wanted, she would make, and she knows how to sew. So whatever Disney princess I was obsessed with at the time, that's what I was. I mean, she did Snow White for me. We did Cinderella. We did everything. But I think my favorite costume had to be when, I was, I think like second grade and I decided I wanted to be Cleopatra. I don't know how that happened, but somehow along the line, I just decided that Cleopatra was my jam and that was what I was going to be. And so, you know, she did the whole thing where we made like, you know, took like white bed sheets and like made the toga thing. I mean, let's be honest, it looks like a toga, but the Egyptian style, you know, garb. And then she got this like big gold, she got this gold shiny fabric and she cut it into like this disc that went around like my neck, and then she bought like a whole bunch of fabric glue and these like different little glue on gems and then just let me like just go nuts. And I made this bejeweled, you know, cause then it was like, it looked like it was like the jewels on the gold, you know, around the neck. And then my favorite part about it was that she did my eyeliner for it so that I looked all Egyptian and whatnot. And I was
did you have cat eyes?
Yeah, she did the whole, she did the big dark, the dark eyeliner dark black eyeliner, so I looked like I was an Egyptian, and then I wore sandals, and I really enjoyed that costume. I thought it was really cool because she had that nice balance of, she did all the real work, but then she also let me like participate in creating it. And I think maybe that's what made it one of my favorite costumes, is I felt like I got to be involved in it. I think that was also the year that we got the Martian ears for my dog. I had a really awesome dog growing up. I didn't have siblings at the time, so he was like my sibling. I took that dog everywhere, that poor guy. Like, wherever I went, he went with me. But I put the Martian, like, little Martian balls on his head, and he put up with that. And he was just that kind of a dog. He let me do whatever I wanted to do. But yeah, no, that was probably my favorite, was the Cleopatra, just because I got to be more involved in designing the costume. So you mentioned favorite adult costumes. So now I'm curious, as an adult, what's one of your more favorite costumes that you've done as an adult?
When I was living with the coolest roommates that I've ever had, I was living with three other guys. They decided to host a Halloween party where the theme was going to be gender swapped Disney characters. And so I realized that Darkwing Duck was a Disney property and a male character. So that's who I chose to go as. And creating and finding that costume was a ball. It was a blast. One of the roommates helped me make the cape. I found the material for the purple outside and the pink inside. And he was really big into creating his own costumes and stuff like that, because he did that for a long time. So he helped me make that. And I tracked down a purple jacket at one of those discount clothes stores, one of those thrift shops, and found the buttons and just making that. And it looked really cool. Ended up finding it was like orangish yellow tights and white shorts. So it was really cool.
I saw pictures of that, and you did a great job.
That sounds really cool, and I think I need to see pictures.
And that hat. Oh, my God. That was actually the hardest thing to find. I actually had to order it on the internet. It wasn't too expensive, but it took forever to find a Darkwing Duck hat.
That's really awesome.
So I really like the for adult costumes, if I may. The Josie I did last year that we used for our contest, obviously, I'm really proud of how that turned out. It was some new, trying out new sewing stuff. But my favorite is still Sally. Some years ago when I worked for Upgrade Corporation of America, it was one of those at work we're having a contest. And I did a Sally costume, and I did makeup, and I had a long red wig, and I made the dress.
Sally from
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yes. Okay. And
cool.
I made the dress, and I used, like, I had old hospital gowns from a bunch of hospitalizations and linen napkins. So I had all these different patterns and textures. So I cut them up and did, like, the patchwork looking dress. And then I found knit stockings, white ones, and I got embroidery thread. So I did, like, the stitching to make it look like I was stitched together. And I had this giant basket, and I put in, like, treats. I handed out candy and stuff, but I also had some of my little like tinctures and essential oils and herbs and stuff in there. So that was my favorite.
That's really fun. It's funny, like adult, I don't know, as an adult, I just haven't costumed a lot, which is always sad because I feel like I have like a couple costumes that it's like, oh, I'm doing a Halloween party. I'll just throw this on. Like I have like a gypsy costume that I do, or I have like a witch costume, but I am actually dressing up for the work. So at work, we have a Halloween costume contest thing, and we're doing it next Friday. And I don't think I'll win because I'm not really going for anything like super like exciting, but I've actually, I'm going to be going as a flapper, like from the 20s. So I got like a little flapper dress that I ordered online, which was kind of crazy because I almost ordered it my normal size. And then I read the reviews. It was like, order two sizes smaller. And I'm like, ooh, this makes me nervous. But I did actually follow the instructions, and holy crap, am I glad, because otherwise I would look like I was wearing a hefty bag, because even two sizes smaller, it still is a little bit big.
Oh, weird.
So that would have been absolutely crazy. But then I've got like the whole getup, you know, with the little headband and with the feather on it. And I got a boa, and then I have like the long cigarette holder, and then I have the costume pearls. Boas are
amazing.
Yeah, just like a simple black boa. And then I've got the costume pearls, you know, that I like wrap around once and then do the knot to kind of bring the costume together. And, you know, I just managed to find some stuff online and order everything I needed. And it kind of came together. So that's what I'm going to be this year. But as far as like past costumes that I really enjoyed, probably when a couple friends and I did United States of Terra. Do you remember that show on Showtime? United States of Terra.
Not at all.
It was a show about this mom who had dissociative identity disorder, also known as multiple personalities in the old school terms. And so she had three different main alters. And then there was also this fourth that kind of popped up at the end of the first season. And I was big into the show at the time. Some friends of mine watched the show too. And then I worked for a cable company. So I actually got United States of Terra ball cap, which was in the style of one of her alters, who was Buck. And Buck was a Vietnam vet man who used to wear like, you know, the rolled up white t-shirt with the cigarettes in the pocket, in the arm and all that. And, so I dressed up as Buck. And then one of my friends dressed up as T, which was like her like thong showing teenager obnoxious freaking crazy, crazy alter. And then there was like the Stepford housewife 50s bright red lipstick, alter. And then there was Gimme, which was this like weird primordial. Also was referred to as the poncho goblin on the show. So one of my friends dressed up with like the poncho and like with a hooded poncho get up. So yeah, it was really a really weird costume, but it was actually really fun and interesting because we were all just the four different alters from United States of
Terra. Did somebody actually go out with the whale tail showing?
Oh yeah. No, we had a, our friend, she definitely did like she folded a pair of jeans over just, you know, and then she actually specifically bought like a bright pink, like what, a super bright pink thong to show off the whale tail, you know, and be obnoxious. And then, you know, hair pulled back into like a little pony with too much makeup, like, you know, teenagers do, or some teenagers do. And then, yeah, and then another friend of mine, she was perfect for the Alice. And they all have names and they all have the personalities. And in the show, when she goes into one of her alters, you know, she changes her whole outfit and everything appropriately. So, yeah, it was definitely a really fun costume and definitely unexpected. So that was fun. That's probably one of my more favorite ones. It's fun. I just think it's fun to, like, participate together to do it. And I think most of my costuming is usually done associated with the LARP. So it's kind of not very often I've been able to actually do, costuming as an adult just for Halloween in general.
I was gonna say you could kind of double duty with your LARP garb, right?
Yeah, I have done that too. I absolutely have. There've been a few times where I've had to go to like a Halloween party and I have like nothing prepped and I will just rock out my corset and skirt over my jeans or whatever. And just, you know, people are like, what are you? And I'm like, oh, let me just put in some fangs. I'm a vampire. but you know, I don't know. I just like to be able to, I'm glad this year that I decided to jump out and actually design a costume and do a costume this year.
Are you working on the Moira still for BlizzCon?
I won't be able to have it done because I wasn't planning on BlizzCon soon enough to have, I didn't get the official word on BlizzCon until too late, unfortunately, that I won't be able to because I really want to do it justice with the pads. So that will be a future project. There will be a Moira. It will happen. And that's Moira Tharizane. And I also know Moira Bromsbeard originally before she married Emperor Tharizane. But anyway, I will definitely be rocking that eventually. So that will happen. It will happen. I just want to be able to really do it justice and not just throw it together.
Awesome. So, Ember, are you dressing up at all this year?
I don't know. I'm running out of time. I was supposed to go to a party tonight, but I have to do a fundraiser instead. And my husband does have a Halloween gig. He's doing this whole thing with a band where they're going to be like something Seeger in the Copper Bullet band, like a spoof thing. So I might have to work on something for him. And I'm still making Fletcher's Black Mage costume. So I don't know if I'll have time. I might reuse the Josie.
It's a cute costume.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
I might have to, I don't know if the purse survived, the purse that looks like a guitar. I have to dig it out and see if it needs some repair.
I want a guitar purse. That's cool.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea because, I mean, I was going out to a show and I need to carry a purse anyway. And I want to be carrying a guitar, but you don't want to be, like, hitting people with your guitar. So I made a purse. I just cut out a body shape of a guitar and then drew strings on felt and glued that on top. And then I sewed buttons up on the corners, and I just used one of my husband's guitar straps to attach to it for the strap.
Awesome. Very cool.
That's really cool.
And I won.
All right. Hey, that's even awesome. Cooler too. I don't think I'll win because I'm sure people are really creative. We just had a pumpkin carving contest at work and my pumpkin did not perform well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's actually like I just went for something very traditional and there were some really amazing pumpkins. So I will absolutely include a picture of it. I think I tweeted a picture out about it, but one of my coworkers brought in a pumpkin where they painted a pumpkin and then another pumpkin on top as BB-8.
Neat.
It was really cool. And it didn't win. Cool. It didn't win. We were like, how did this not win? It was clearly the coolest pumpkin, but there was also a cool like Nightmare Before Christmas. No.
What pumpkin actually ended up winning?
Yeah, the Nightmare Before Christmas one did. Cause they cut it out and they had like this whole scene with like little like papers of like the different people and stuff inside. I think it was kind of cheesy though. Cause I was like, you basically just like used a pumpkin like as a
diorama.
Yeah, basically as a diorama. Exactly. And like, that's not, and granted the rules said you could either carve or paint it. And I just felt like that was kind of meh, but it won, it was a popularity contest, but still is cool. I mean, I just think it's fun that we're doing that. And it was like to benefit a cause too, which is cool.
Yeah.
We were fundraising for the Lymphoma Leukemia Society.
And I wish my work did stuff like that. My job just does not do anything like that.
Yeah, all next week. So next week is quote unquote spirit week. So on like Monday, there's like one, oh shit, I don't even remember what Monday is, but like one day is like wear your favorite socks day, pajama day. There's and then Friday is that everybody wears a costume day. And then the following Monday, which is actually Halloween, there's a sweet and savory treat off. So there's going to be two categories, savory treats and sweet treats. And you bring it in and there's going to be like a taste testing contest.
So you could make like chocolate salty balls and enter it in both.
I was going to go sweet, but there's this one chick. She bakes like I don't know how she's not just a professional, like, a pastry chef or something. Cause like everything she makes and brings to work is incredible. So her sweet treats, I'm sure are going to just destroy the house. It doesn't rock the house. So I think I'm probably going to do buffalo chicken dip because I just want to eat buffalo chicken dip. That's really right. That's really why. It probably won't win on the savory side, but it's going to be delicious. So we'll all be winners because we'll be eating it.
That's right.
Like, I'm strangely okay with that. Oh, man. All right. So we've talked quite a bit about costumes. Let's talk a little about scary movies. So what favorite scary movie? Do you like really scary movies? Do you like the cheesy B movies with all the gore? What kind of scary movies do you all like?
Well, I think Loon wanted to talk about, I don't know, Nightmare, at least.
Yeah, that's not necessarily considered a scary movie, but that's definitely my favorite Halloween and Christmas movie to watch. When it comes to scary movies.
I love that it's also a Halloween and a Christmas movie.
I know. You get to watch it twice a year and not feel bad about it. When it comes to scary movies, I do tend to fall on the side of liking gore. I'm one of those really weird people that actually liked all 7 movies of the Saw series.
Oh, one of my coworkers is dressing up as Billy? Billy? Or Bob? The puppet.
Oh, the puppet. Oh, goodness.
So I didn't know the puppet had a name. So she's like, I'm dressing up as Billy. And for some reason, I thought Billy was a puppet from The Puppet Billy. And I thought, I got it confused with one of the puppets that is in like a kid show. And I was like, oh, and she's like, no, nuh-uh. It's the puppet from Saw. I'm like, oh, terrifying. I didn't know he had a name.
I didn't know that either. Now I know. That's crazy. Don't put a name to something like that.
So that'll be interesting. I can probably share some pics of that, but that should be interesting to see how her costume comes out.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. When I was a kid, speaking of like favorite stuff when you were a kid, I remember in elementary school going over and having a sleepover at a friend's house. We rented a whole bunch of B movies, like scary B movies. And so as a child watching this movie, I think we rented all three of them. I think there's only three, but it was the Phantasm series. And it was gory and gross and scary as hell. And rewatching it as an adult, I'm sure it would just be laughable and just a fun time. But watching it for the first time as a kid, they had these little metal balls that would go and attach to somebody's head and suck out your brain. And it was just gruesome and horrible. So that would probably be one of my favorite scary movies. And then when it comes to other scary movies, I really like things like The Ring. When you see that for the first time, I like movies where you don't know where the evil is coming from. And it's possibly supernatural. Not necessarily like just some guy that's going around with a chainsaw and chasing you around. Cause that is scary because in a real life situation, that would be scary as hell. But I like things where you don't quite know where the evil is coming from. So it makes it's beyond everything that you could actually, like it's beyond yourself. It's beyond God. It's beyond like everything like that. So you don't know so you can't fight something you can't see or you don't know what it is. So I find that extremely, excruciatingly scary.
I really like psychological thrillers. Like I really like the ones that just mess with your brain.
Yes.
But I also have a place in my heart for just the freaking crazy gore. Like that interests me too. I don't know. Like I really, I can really just do any kind of scary movie. Like I think about Paranormal Activity. That movie wigged me out, man. Like I saw it in the theater and that movie just got like, even to this day, granted, like I know it's fake, but something about the way they build it kind of like they were using their real names and it made it more real that just got me somehow.
That movie really got me too. I haven't seen the third one or the fourth one, but
I haven't either. But man, it just got to me. Like some of the images and the way that they set it up and just like how like they're just in the room and then like the covers move and I'm like, ah. And like even still once in a while, I'll be like in bed. And I'll be like, oh, my cover is secure. Like, is there some creepy thing going to take my covers off? Like,
is something going to walk in the dust on the floor?
Oh God.
On camera. They did such a fantastic job with suspense in that movie.
Yeah. And like the fact that you don't have to show the monster to have it be scary. Like it's actually scarier when you don't see the monster. You know the other one, did you ever see Mama?
No.
That was weird. So that was one that came out just like only a couple years ago maybe, but it was really creepy because it was about these girls that got separated from their parents and like ended up like in the wilderness after this accident. And I don't know, the whole thing was very weird at the beginning of exactly how it got set up. But ultimately, this dude and the dad's brother. Oh yeah, maybe he like went out and like killed himself or something. I don't know. But the dad did something weird. So the two daughters that are like 4 and like 2 at the time end up in some like little hut where they like hide out and somehow like survive. And then the brother and his girlfriend end up like taking them in because they get found and they're like all feral because they've been like taking care of themselves. Oh. But they were like basically getting taken care of also by Mama, this weird like entity, like ghost entity thing. And it's just really crazy. Like, it was a really weird, scary movie, and it definitely just had some really weird themes in it that were, different. Like, definitely different. But it was a good one. But again, it was because of all the suspense and everything else. And again, they didn't really just like put it all there. So your mind was kind of creating some of what was happening too.
I agree. The scarier ones for me are the ones that build suspense and have that psychological element to them. You're trying to figure out what in the world exactly is going on. I think the Hellraiser movies are a real good example of having some of each, because until the later ones where it just got, you know, monsters, gore, but in the early with it being a puzzle, and another realm being tapped into. And so it was more interesting plot wise than any of those, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Michael Myers chasing people around with axes and whatever ever were to me. The only thing that really, really scared me as a kid was The Exorcist. And I don't know if it was because I was Catholic or it was because my babysitter let me watch it way too young, but I had heinous nightmares over that one, even though stuff like The Omen and Poltergeist, none of that had kind of any effect on me at all, other than, oh, that's a movie. I guess I do tend toward the B-movie ones. Like, I love Nightbreed. And I don't know if Clive Barker's Nightbreed qualifies as a B-movie, but it does have comedic elements, and the monsters are something you can relate to. I mean, I was in a after-hours club in Toronto, and it was called Midian. And my tribe back home, we were kind of like a bunch of outcasts. We're the monsters, and there's sympathy for them in that, and we all attached to it, and we called ourselves the household, the main household in the tribe Midian for a long time. So I just adore that movie. And Army of Darkness, of course, huge place in my heart. Freaking love Ash. Like, I have an Ash Saves Obama comic book. I have a special edition of Army of Darkness. And I have a funny story is somebody awesome. Left it in the VCR when my oldest was little, and he got up before we did and was watching Army of Darkness by mistake. And it was the stop motion skeleton scene. And he just came downstairs. He's like, there were skeletons and I was scared and I shut it off. And I'm sorry I turned it on. And then there was this period of a couple years after that where he kept at it. And anytime he was describing something scary, he would say, it was of darkness.
So I have to tell the story of how I first saw Army of Darkness. Ugh, my mom. All right. So we were going to, and this actually also explains, my confusion of not knowing that what I had seen was Army of Darkness. Weird situation. So my mom and my stepdad and I go to the movie theater, and they're like, oh, we're going to go see Groundhog Day. And that's the tickets that they asked for. But they really wanted to watch Army of Darkness because they were in the theater at the same time. And so I had known vaguely, you know, granted I'm a little kid at the time. I think, God, I must have been like 8. So I remember seeing like the commercials for Groundhog Day and being like, oh, this is going to be a funny movie about Groundhog Day. And so it was like, yeah, we're going to go see Groundhog Day. And so they bought tickets for Groundhog Day, but basically they wanted to go see Army of Darkness, but they needed me to be able to get through. So they bought tickets to Groundhog Day. Oh, I think no. I am watching Groundhog Day. Totally didn't watch Groundhog
that
Day.
That is such a mean trick to play weird. On your kid.
Well, I don't think they meant it as a trick. I think she just was afraid that I was going to be like, I don't want to watch it. It's going to be scary. And so I think she just assumed it would be fine to just like drag me in there and I would just figure it out. And I did. But the whole time I'm like, what does this have to do with Groundhog Day? Like the whole time the movie is happening, I just remember like as a kid being like, how does this relate to Groundhog Day? And then later I realized that they basically were like, oh yeah, we're going to go see that, because they didn't want me to be like, oh, I'm too scared to go see that. And yeah, I actually was watching Army of Darkness.
That's pretty wild.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom. And yeah, and so then people were like, for like years later, when I finally actually watched Groundhog Day, I was like, oh, that's what this is. Oh, man. I like Cabin in the Woods. I'm going to watch that. Like, I was talking about the gore and all the cheesy gore that made me think I need to go.
Joss Whedon.
I need to go watch that again. That's just always good. It's so funny.
That was a really good movie.
And I do love B movies, and I love MST3K. I think I've watched more bad movies because we used to watch MST3K every week. I'm super excited it's coming back. And, I'm sure you girls know that, but maybe everyone doesn't. So I have this movie, Rob, and I found, I don't know, about a year ago, maybe, because somehow we were browsing horror movies to watch and B movies in particular to be silly. And we were just getting into like a lot of watching burlesque at the time. And it came up in the description that it was like the main characters in this are a burlesque troupe. And it's called Zombie Women of Satan. There are no zombies. There is no Satan. There is a ridiculous poop scene, which I just can't even. It is the funniest, weirdest, silliest B movie I might have ever seen. I highly recommend it with a not safe for children warning. So if you want to check that out, I think I'm going to actually tweet at the new host and see if we can get MST3K to do that one.
Are you going to tweet at Jonah?
Yeah.
That's a really good suggestion. I love this. This is because I'm not going to any parties or anything this year. So now I have a really nice little list of cool, scary movies that I can watch.
Nice. We're giving you awesome. your solo Halloween adventure. We're helping build it.
Because I still have not even seen any of the Hellraisers. I've only seen scenes of Army of Darkness. So I'll get caught up on those and check out Mama and Nightbreed and weird poop
scenes.
Yeah,
tell me what you think of Mama too. Because like that one really just stands out in my mind. It's just one I kind of didn't expect to appreciate as much as I did. So I'm interested to see what you think of it.
Well, in that case, I'd like to also suggest a podcast I found.
Oh, sweet.
I have been listening to Snap Judgment. Because I heard an episode on NPR and all those, currently they're running Campfire Tales. Like there's a series of all scary story oriented ones. I just listened to this Dollhouse episode, which was awesome and creepy. So they're replaying these old scary stories and then it's leading up to their scary story, like new episodes. So you might want to check that out.
Awesome. Yeah. I love the Halloween episodes for Snap Judgment. One of my favorite stories was the story about the supposed ghost woman in this old kitchen that would help this woman bake stuff on this really old ancient, like 1800s type of stove. It's like, it's not really a scary story, but it's just that it just stuck with me. It's really kind of interesting.
So we all play video games and we all have, I'm sure, played some video games that have stuck with us from the standpoint. I know a lot of people that for Halloween, like that's what they love to do is play scary video games or even scary games, not necessarily video games, but maybe RPGs or tabletop RPGs or board games as well. What are some games that scared you the most or are still scary to you?
I know for me, the scariest video game I have ever played is Fatal Frame 2. I never did end up playing the first one, which I guess is still just as scary. The first one deals with a mansion and you're just a single person going through the mansion trying to figure out this mystery of some disappearing people. And the main caveat of the video game is you can only see the ghosts when you're looking through your camera lens. And in order to defeat them, you have to take a picture. I've always felt that this would make a fantastic scary movie if done properly and not done in the like silly way of everybody's on this Skype call and they all start dying. It's just you put in your headphones and you play these kinds of games like this and the background noises are just haunting. There's some scenes that'll happen like during the second movie. You play these two twins that are going through this, they kind of get trapped. They're walking through the woods and they come across this ancient Japanese village and they kind of get trapped there. They cannot leave. And the ghosts that you encounter, like there's this one where you end up getting separated. And so you're trying to get back to your twin and find her. And there's this one scene where you're in this stairwell and a ghost, you hear the ghost coming from above. and you can't see anything because it's, you can't see the ghost until you're looking at it through the camera. But you hear the ghost fall from above, land with this blood-curdling scream and splat. And then you look through your camera and she has no legs and she's crawling at you with her arms. It's just the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
So what kind of games have you guys found that really scared you guys?
Well, I think I haven't played a lot of horror games video game wise. I think mostly because they tend to be first person and I really have, as mentioned before, like vertigo issues with that kind of thing. So it's been hard to get into. But tabletop, I love Dead of Winter so much. And because of the way the characters are in it that you're playing, it's like a tabletop RPG and they have different characteristics. And it's a nerd thing I do. Like my husband and I mean, we have a plan. Just, it keeps coming up discussions of and with other nerd groups, like who would your team be? Instead of just taking a quiz online, we've sat and had extensive conversations about where you would go and what resources you would need and what people you would want around you. And the people in Dead of Winter, the characters, have advantages. Like somebody is better at finding stuff in the grocery store and someone is a nurse, so their healing is better when they are searching for supplies at the hospital. So it's just a very, I had planned for this. And then I started playing the game and it was like, I went home afterward. It was at my son's tabletop club the first time. And I mean, I dreamt about it. I mean, I woke up thinking, rethinking little bits of the plan that, you know, we've discussed before. And the first time I saw the game in a store after that, I bought it. I just love it. And I play with my kids and like, I feel like I'm teaching something valuable. So maybe I'm crazy, but that's a bit of horror in a game that just really impacted me.
Oh, that's really cool. And a really neat like life lesson on how to be prepared for emergencies and stuff like that. That's really cool. It's educational and scary. Because when in real life, if an emergency happens like that and you're not prepared, that is some scary shit.
And there's the places that everyone thinks they would immediately have to hit and loot first. And, you know, being from the north, I still keep a pantry. So I have a certain amount of non-perishable food. I mean, we're not crazy hoarders where I've got a special water supply, but I do know I could re-tap my well if I needed to, if it hit the fan. And for me, I've often thought, and I'll share this secret, go to the freaking hardware store. Like the big box hardware store, everyone's going to be raiding the Walmart and raiding the gun store. It's like, no, go to the, because you're going to have generators. You're going to have stuff to build fences. You're going to have tools. Yeah. You're going to have seeds and soil, for goodness sake. I always thought the hardware store was going to be my first grab that base of operations while everybody's still looting.
Yep, I would go take over Home Depot for real. Now, for me, like, video game-wise, the one that always got me was, I must have been, like, 8th grade, maybe 9th grade at the time, Resident Evil. Oh, my gosh. I could never play that game by myself.
Oh, the original? That scene right at the beginning of the game where you're walking down the hallway and those two dogs jump in through the windows from outside.
And you just freak out. And then you only have so many bullets. So you're constantly like, oh my God, I can't. And you know, I could never play it alone. I'd have to get a friend. Like, just play it. And I'm like, no, I need you to come over so I can play Resident Evil. Cause I just couldn't do it by myself. It was so crazy. Cause I'd be like running around and, you only had – that game was the one with, like, the resources mattered. Firing extra shots mattered because if you didn't have the bullets, you were going to die. And it was crazy. And there were, like, zombie dogs and that is – zombie dogs are freaking scary and shit would jump out of nowhere. And you just – you felt like you were in a horror movie. It was so good. So scary. So fun. I loved it. Loved it.
So here's a question for both of you. When it comes to zombie animals – I have an opinion, but what would scare you guys more, a zombie dog or a zombie cat?
That's actually a good question. I say zombie cat because I feel like they would be more agile and be able to kind of like sneak in and I may not even notice them and then they'd be chewing on me already.
That's what I was going to say. The stealth factor, I think, is more frightening to me.
Yeah, but same here.
Dogs are bigger and they can run, so I don't know.
They both would be extremely scary. Zombie cats, though, especially like a house cat, could be above you or below you and could attack from pretty much any angle. Cats are amazing at hiding. It's so crazy.
I think children win, though. That's like the worst zombie thing ever.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, man. All right. I'm just getting excited for Walking Dead tomorrow. The more we talk about this, zombies are cool.
I know. Now I'm like, how did I not mention Lost Boys? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Lost Boys.
That's another movie that I haven't seen all the way through.
Seriously?
Add that to the list.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I had the biggest crush on Kiefer Sutherland for, like, ever.
Oh, yeah. He's a cutie.
I just love Halloween stuff. It's fun. Like, Halloween stuff is just fun. It's really, like, I don't know. It's just a fun time of year. And, you know, as a pagan, it's Samhain's coming up, and, like, that's a big part of it, too. And I just love this time of year. Like, it's cooled off a little bit. It's not quite, like, so hot. And what's not to love about Halloween? There's scary stuff, spooky stuff. You get to play dress up and play pretend and candy.
And something I love about Samhain is I've been able to incorporate it in with, you know, with non-pagans, too, because there's just that, we'll have a bonfire at my house somewhere around Samhain, and just anybody is there, and it just can get up and explain, like, so I have this, you know, ritual that we perform in my house, and you can join in if you like. And if you've lost anyone this year, it's a way of saying goodbye and letting them go, because we believe that there is an easier way to access them at this time. And if you don't want to talk, write it down. We can offer it to the fire. Or just talk about who you want to remember or who you lost that meant something to you this year. And people in the past have been very open to just speaking up about whether it was a celebrity, whether it was a personal loss. And then, you know, you continue to drink and party and bond, and it's a very healing thing.
Yeah, that's really what I like about Samhain is it's kind of just like, all right, you know, the remembrance part of it is really cool for me. And I definitely have, you know, some family that I like to, and not actually blood family, but friends and stuff that I like to remember every year. And it just kind of gives me that chance to kind of think about them. And, you know, I think, and that's just like, again, it's just a cool time of year. I know a lot of, like, here in Tucson, there's a lot of cool stuff with Dia de los Muertos. So I'm really excited because I missed out on it last year. But they do some kind of a big, like, parade thing. And, like, it's just it's a big event because there's a lot of Mexican culture here in Tucson because we're so close to Mexico. So there's a lot of that. So I'm really interested to participate in that. And cause again, it's really interesting how that's kind of, a lot of them are Catholic, but Dia de los Muertos is so similar. There are aspects of it that are so similar to what you do with Samhain rituals. So it's kind of interesting to me.
Absolutely. When I first started studying different religions, I found that Catholicism had well prepared me with the rituals for basically any other religion that has Wheel of the Year things. The similarities are astounding, and it's been a great bridge to, you know, open people's minds about other people's paths.
All right. So silly question. Favorite trick-or-treating candy. What's your favorite stuff to get out of the bucket? Or like when you're getting candy, what's the favorite Halloween candy?
Full size candy bars.
I feel like the answer is cheating.
We have a family, a really rich family that's really prominent here, because he's basically the reason why Idaho is famous for potatoes. It's the Simplot family. And the rumor is if you went to his house during Halloween, they were handing out full size candy bars. I never did get to check it out because my parents wouldn't let me trick or treat that far. And by the time, you know, I got old enough to have a car and stuff like that, I was too old to trick or treat, and didn't have any like little kids to take with me. So
does it have to be candy?
No. Do you have like a favorite Halloween treat?
Witch fingers.
I do not know what that is.
What is a witch finger?
Okay. So when I lived in a neighborhood where I got tons and tons of trick-or-treaters, I was also in like a college area. So you get like a lot of college kids just coming by with a bandana on their head going, oh, pirate, to get a bunch of free candy. And I was like, you know, why? You know, it'd be like that. So I like to go to like Party City and get like little toys, right? Like those little plastic fingers you stick on, look like a witch, or Halloween erasers or stencils or tattoos. And the kids love it. And so do I. It's fun to play with yourself and to see their excitement, because it's not just candy, which does happen.
It is fun to play with yourself.
Instead of like a bunch of cheap suckers. And then the older kids just kind of go, oh. And it worked out. Like, I thought it was a good idea, and I got excited about it. And then my house ended up becoming, lots and lots of people came, and like three times as many the next year and three times as many the year after. The last year before I moved away, I ended up having to just raid, when my kids came back from trick or treating, raiding all the stuff they didn't want to hand out, because I couldn't keep up. I ran out. So that's one of my favorite Halloween things. Much better than downtown here. They have a trick or treat, and the churches hand out tracts, and that's not fun.
Chick tracts. Yep.
Wait, they hand out what?
Chick tracts. Go to chicktracts.com and laugh your ass off. They're horrible. They're not a good way to bring people to Christianity. They're just nonsensical.
Oh.
Yeah, like a dum-dum and a tract. No thanks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Generally, when it comes to candy, I would prefer like those fun size Snickers and stuff like that. I like the candy bars stuffed with chocolate. Pixie sticks are also really cool and fun. But what do you guys think about trick or trunking, which seems to be growing in popularity over the years?
I'm sorry, where trick or what?
Trick or trunking, where parents are just going to a parking lot. And you open your trunk and hand out and have your little kids just go around to each car. And that's how you trick or treat, because it's safer. It seems to be going around a lot. I think that kind of takes away the joy of going from house to house. But
yeah, isn't like the whole point to be like, yeah.
I do have a positive experience with that, though, because I live in a rural neighborhood where going door to door isn't really all that possible. And there are. Okay. A handful of people, even downtown, like we've gone, it's kind of similar to the downtown trick or treat where you just go up and down and the businesses hang out. But the trunk or treat, they'll have, it's like a party and they'll have beverages. And for kids that live in a rural area or a place where you're
okay,
just
that makes sense.
A conservative town,
you don't have
where people like actually put nasty signs on their doors about how you're the devil if you're trick or treating. It's a good opportunity for the parents that at least will play along.
Yeah, I mean, from that standpoint, that makes sense. I can get on board with that. I mean, because, like, I even think about it, like, if you don't have a good place to trick-or-treat, like, that sucks. And I used to live, like, in a rural area, and one of the things that we used to do was go to, like, when I grew up, one of the places I lived was Amador County, just in California, and it's really just a small town. And you don't always have, a way to trick or treat. Cause again, it's like rural and stuff, but they would have like the Halloween festival and everybody would go and people would give out candy there. And then you'd go around and it was like at like a gym or like at one of those school campuses, like one of the high school campus or whatever. And then they would have like different games and stuff too. But then you also got the trick or treat there. So that was like an option, which I always kind of enjoyed.
And going to the rich neighborhood is always nice, but you kind of feel like it's not a very good example to be setting for your children.
Like, hey guys, let's go to the better neighborhood to go get them full-size candy bars. Now, I do think that, okay, so I have to say for me, like, I really like Smarties. I was just trying to think of my favorite candies, my favorite treats. But I think the other thing I really
American
like about
ones?
Halloween, just the Smarties, like the little tiny round ones.
Just in case we have Canadian listeners, Smarties in America are like little tiny sweet tarts, but Smarties in Canada are more like M&Ms.
That's so confusing.
Ah, interesting.
UK, yeah.
The UK has a version of that too. I'm not sure what they call them.
And I also really like, candy apples.
Man, those are difficult to make. But
they are. I like so good. That's what I mean. Like, no, actually, I actually like the caramel apples more. I say candy apples, but I really just like.
I like the candy ones when they're like the cinnamon ones. I like.
Yeah. Oh man. I just enjoy. My mom used to get so mad when I was a kid because I would get like a big old bucket of candy and I would make that bucket of candy last 4 months. And so she would start like going in there and like taking some of it just because otherwise it was just candy forever. Cause like most kids, they overindulge and then they're like, all right, the candy's done after a couple weeks. Not me. I would eat like specifically like one or two pieces a night so that my candy would last forever. And she'd be like, okay, the candy's gotta go now.
My kids have made out really well with, they tend to like different candies. So they come home and they put the hoard and they split it up as evenly as they can so everybody gets what they want. And those loot crate boxes that can turn inside out and they look like cool boxes have ended up being like their candy treasure troves.
I've done trick or soup before too. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Uh-uh.
So what you do is you go around your neighborhood. I did this when I lived at my dad's house because he lives in a very traditional suburban neighborhood in Illinois. So when I lived there, when I was in eighth grade, I did trick or soup. So I would go with like a little post-it note or a little postcard to the whole neighborhood that said, hey, I'm going to be coming by on Halloween, but I won't just be trick or treating. I'll also be collecting non-perishable food for the food bank called Trick or Soup. And so basically that would give them like the warning to have that stuff ready. And then on Halloween, I'd go with my little siblings that were younger than me and we'd go trick-or-treating. And then I went door to door and collected, non-perishable food items for the bank.
Oh, great.
So it was really cool because I got to have an excuse to dress up and still quote unquote trick-or-treat. But, you know, I was clearly too old to be trick-or-treating traditionally. So it gave me a way to still participate without necessarily, I still got to dress up and walk around the neighborhood, basically.
Is it UNICEF that does that thing on where you trick-or-treat and you collect pennies?
I feel like I've heard of that.
I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it reminds me of that, except, you know, yours would be a lot heavier. I hope you had help.
I had a wagon. I took a wagon with me, and I would just, like, pull the wagon around. All right, so, oh my gosh, we've talked a lot of Halloween-y stuff. So, Lunescence, do you want to share a story with us?
Yeah. I'm kind of debating too, because it's not necessarily scary, maybe to anyone else. It was just one of those kind of unexplainable things that happened to me, that was very scary at the time. I used to work at Idaho Ice World, which is Boise's ice rink facility. There's two rinks in there. And I was closing out the night with my supervisor, who was also a friend. And she was the only supervisor at the time. So what the supervisor did was, supervise and maintain the ice surfaces. So they would drive the, Zamboni. And so I was helping her close up the building one night. And after we locked up the building and came outside, it was late at night, probably 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And it was just her and I were just talking in the parking lot, before we headed to our cars. And we were kind of talking about like scary things and things that would freak us out. And I started looking and the location of the building is in this giant, outlet mall. So the parking lot is really, really big. And, the other businesses that go around the entire parking lot is, you know, a bunch of outlet mall stores. So you can get stuff for cheaper than if you actually went to the regular mall. And I started looking way down at the end of the parking lot. Something was coming towards us. I'm like, oh my God, Jen, do you see that? Her name was Jen. Do you see? And she's like, stop trying to freak me out. I'm like, no, do you see that? Something's coming at us. And the location to this outlet mall is far away from it's pretty far away from like the rest of the city. It's out near Gowan Field, which is the army base, or kind of like an army base type thing. And there's the only other thing that's out there is a Chevron gas station. And as this thing was coming closer, it got, you know, obviously it was getting bigger and in view, and it was a dog. Like, oh, okay. It's not a person. It's late at night. It's, you know, somebody isn't like trying to creepy guy that we're going to have to deal with or run away from. And this, all of a sudden it stops And it looks over towards the building, and the way the building is shaped, there's this corner where you can't see to the side of it. And we both heard it, and we both saw the dog. The dog stops, looks over, and the only object that is on that side of the building that we couldn't see from where we were standing is a newspaper rack thing where you put in 50 cents and you get a newspaper. It's shaking thunderously. Like, this machine is, we were the only two in the building. We were the only two in the parking lot other than this dog. This machine is shaking all by itself. We can't see it though, because of the side of the corner of the building, but the dog stopped and noticed it and was like, huh. And then continued on towards us. And we were both just like, okay, it's time to leave. It wasn't windy out. There's no way. And even if it was, there's no way that the wind could move a machine like that, that was just right next to the building. So I don't know if somebody was standing around the corner and moving that machine, but they didn't let themselves be known. So it was really freaky. Other really weird, freaky things would happen, at Idaho Ice World, in that place of employment. Like, I'd be upstairs by myself, shutting down the building, shutting up the parting rooms up there. And all of a sudden, right in my ear, somebody whispered my full name. And it was just me, and the supervisor was down on the ice, resurfacing the ice. So that was really, really freaking. A lot of weird happenstances that would go on up there.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Did anything weird happen ever with the Zamboni? Because for me, that sounds like a really good beginning to a movie.
That's true.
Kind of.
It does sound like the beginning of a scary movie.
Yeah, because for the Zamboni, I ended up being a supervisor for several months. So I started driving it, and there's this gigantic blade. It's like a gigantic, thick, heavy razor blade, but it's probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet long. And you have to, and the edge of it, the sharp edge of it where you resurface the ice is razor fucking sharp. And you have to lift it by yourself, both hands, and get it up into the machine. Like, when you're changing the blade, when it gets dull. And that is definitely something that scary movies are made out of. I would not want to lose an appendage just because it fell. And they only paid us $8 in order to do that. Like, no hazard pay.
Oh, crazy.
$8 an hour. Yay.
That's crazy. Ooh, spooky stuff. Did you ever play with Ouija boards as a kid? I always had, like, that one friend that wanted to play with Ouija boards, and they always weirded me out.
We did do that once, and I swear, like, everybody else swear they were not moving the...
everybody swears that, but then you're like...
And I swear I didn't either, but it moved, and it spelled out stuff in English.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, weird stuff, right?
There was one time at a sleepover at my house. I think we were playing with one. This friend and I were playing with one, and we asked if there was a spirit there, and found it said that it was this little boy, and we just kind of put it away after that. We're like, well,
we don't know if we want to play with this anymore.
Keep talking to this little boy.
So there was one time when I lived in, and granted, I've had a few, like, paranormal experiences or whatever, and people can have their opinions on it or whatever, but I moved into an apartment with a friend of mine who, in a suburb of Chicago, and I didn't know much about the apartment. I mean, literally moved in, and I was there like a couple days, and I was having this whole thing where I would, like, wake up in the middle of the night at the same time every night because the cat would be running up and down the hallway like a friggin' maniac at the same time every night. It was like at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It would happen every night. And then on top of that, more than once, I would swear that I saw this, like, real, like, white lady. Like, that's how I described it, was like white lady. It was just weird. And it was like always out of the corner of my eye, and it just wigged me out. And I was like, oh, this is creepy. Well, I didn't really say anything about it, because, like, you don't want to, like, these are people I had just kind of recently become friends with, and I had just moved there not too long ago, so I didn't really want to, like, be like, oh, let me tell you about this thing that happened, so they could be like, oh, weirdo, you know? So I didn't really say much about it, but then a couple people were over and, or we were at like a diner or something, and they started telling me about, a cemetery that is right across the street from this apartment. And I never really realized that that was like, quote unquote, a famous cemetery because of like paranormal activity, but it was Resurrection Mary Cemetery. And supposedly Resurrection Mary, like, had, there was like sightings with the, with her, you know, just sightings of her in general in the area. And some of the descriptions were very similar to what I saw, thought I saw out of the corner of my eye a few times when I lived there briefly, but kind of weird, right? You're just like, oh, like I didn't know that that was there. Like I had no idea about it. And so it's like, how would I have even like been like, oh, I saw Resurrection Mary. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
Oh, when sure.
You're like, I had no idea about this place until like later. And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So kind of, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I am a believer in some weirdness there. There's definitely some energies out there, and I don't think we have all the answers and all the explanations yet. So I'm not afraid to admit there's definitely been some spooky things that I've seen or had happen or have had friends experience. And I love going to haunted places. I love and hate it. I love it and I hate it simultaneously because mm-hmm. it scares the shit out of me. But it's also really fun to have the shit scared out of you, kind of. I don't know. It's like an adrenaline thing. It's a weird adrenaline thing.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of times people say, oh, it's all baloney. It's all crap. There's no magic. There's nothing supernatural. How can you be so stupid? I'm like, everything was magic until we found the science to explain it. And we still can't explain it all. So maybe you ought to just back off.
Yeah, exactly. Until we have like hard and fast data, let's just let it be. Well, I think that we did quite a bit of awesome discussion on our Halloween spooktacular. Sounds like we're all going to have some fun. And even Loon has plans for Halloween. She was afraid she wasn't going to have Halloween plans.
Yay!
But now you've got fun stuff to do. Made yourself a little movie marathon list. So that'll be cool. So you'll have to check back in and tell us what you think of some of the crazy movies that we have recommended.
Ooh.
I mean, I'll have to work on Halloween, but...
Well, right, me too.
That weekend before. Yeah,
I work until 9 o'clock on Halloween, so I don't even get to hand out candy, and I'm sad.
One controversial topic. Candy corn. Okay. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, the candy corn thing. I do like the memes where they're just like, oh, the best way to store your candy corn. It's like just them dumping it into a trash can.
Since candy corn happens for me only once a year, I can tolerate it. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either. I like the pumpkins, though. I actually like the, you know, the pumpkin ones?
Oh, yeah.
I like those. Regular candy corn does kind of taste like wax a little bit, but the pumpkin ones, I think, taste better.
I actually like it, which
Ember's like, I actually appreciate candy corn.
I do. I like to like eat each layer separately in tiny little bites. And even though I don't mm-hmm. like,
oh my God, I do that.
Overly.
They come apart really easily. Each of those layers. It's really cool.
They do. It's different levels of caramelization. Like, I guess I'm the only one who could taste it, but I like it.
There's, you know what, I think it's okay, and like, I'm with Loon, it's only once a year, so it's not like I'm gonna go nuts. Now, granted, I like a candy a different time of the year that people think I'm weird for loving. Peeps are like my favorite. I love Peeps. And when they started doing Peeps for different holidays, I have been in heaven, because now I can have Peeps
man.
many times a year, because I freaking love them.
I have gotten sick on Peeps before, so that kind of turned me off.
Oh, no. My mom and I, we love them. Like, it's bad. Like, we have a bad appreciation for Peeps. Like, she'll go and, like, buy a couple things of them. And then, like, I even like them when they've been, like, slightly more stale. So, like, you leave the package open for, like, not just, like, a full day, but, like, half a day. And they get this, like, perfect texture of just being just ever so slightly stale. That's bad. Oh, man.
Oh,
so, I guess if I have such an appreciation for Peeps, other people... I should let people enjoy their candy corn.
I guess I'm, yeah, with Peeps where everyone else is with candy corn. Because, like, you're just talking about Peeps. And it makes me stick out my tongue and make Mr. Yuck face. Like, the texture with the crunchy and then the mush and the...
See, it's not for everybody. That's the thing, candy. That's why there's so many different types of candies. Like, oh, you know what I really like that I never get any other time of year except for Halloween that I just thought about is the flavored Tootsie Rolls that aren't Tootsie Roll flavor, like the lemon and the orange
and vanilla. Yeah, those are really good.
I never have those any other time of year, but they are so freaking good, and I only ever see them at Halloween. So, yeah. Well, it sounds like we're all going to have some fun and hopefully get some treats, and I am glad that we got to talk about scary stuff, because, like, there's some video games it sounds like I need to check out that I've never played before. So I'm going to have to play some and scare the pants off myself. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now?
I know for me, I have requested some time off in November, some vacation time. So I'm looking forward to that if my boss approves it. Because it's getting towards the end of the year, and so that means the end of the year blues are almost upon us. So it'll be nice to not have to work.
What about you, Ember? What are you looking forward to?
I am so super excited with collecting the Halloween costumes for the local shelters this year. I have had some really great helpers and collected like enough that the kids should even be able to have some choices. So I should be delivering them this week after I make my spreadsheets and figure out which ones go where, and get the last heads up. Tuesday, I believe, is the deadline they made for, you know, letting us know if your kids want to participate. So I might have to do a few last minute, because I know I've got at least three newborns that I just did get some stuff for today. So I usually just drop them off. This year I might see if they need help for the festivities.
Tiny, tiny costumes.
Yeah, I found some really cute,
adorable,
like, onesies with a Frankenstein onesie and a skeleton onesie, and that's really cool. But yesterday a friend gave me a bunch of really fantastic, I mean, they went to Party City and got so many costumes, and I'm excited. I've always dropped them off. Last year they did send me pictures, and that was really nice. Like, I've liked the anonymous donation thing, but then having the pictures and be able to see the kids' reactions was also super great. So I might volunteer. I don't want the kids to know I brought them, but I'd like to maybe, you know, volunteer with whatever beverages are taking them trick or treating, just so I can see the joy I bring. And I feel a little weird and guilty about that, but I want to share it because I'm so happy about this project. This is, I think, the fourth year
that
I've gotten
cool.
to be the Halloween fairy.
I always like that. And like, that's one of the things I always do, Angel Tree every year, where you like adopt a kid for the year and they have like a list, you know, you get the Angel Tree and it's got the list of what presents they want. And I get to go shopping for that kid, however old they are, and pick out things based on what they have on there. But the one part that always makes me sad about it is I wish I could actually, like, see a picture of that kid, like, opening their presents and being able to see that side of it. I always miss that. I mean, granted, I know it's doing good and I know they're going to enjoy them, but I am sad that I don't necessarily get to see the other side of it.
Yeah, I use Angel Tree, too. I have my kids pick them.
Yeah, I do. I try to do two or three a year if I can afford it, just because I feel like, you know, I feel like everybody should be giving. And you know what? I think that's cool doing that for Halloween, because Halloween is such a memory building thing, you know, and it's cool that you're helping them have good Halloween memories.
Yeah, no one thinks of Halloween. And that's kind of how it just popped into my head one day. I was like, how do those kids go trick or treating? Oh, my God. And I just jumped on it and started doing it.
And how do they? Nobody who's there to make them costumes. Like, I was lucky. My mom and I were poor as shit growing up, but the one thing she always did was, you know, making me a costume. And like, that's a thing that I will always be very grateful for, because I have so many good Halloween memories because of that, because she always, you know, she'd scrap it together and make it work, you know, and make me a costume every single year. And, like, that's really cool. And I know there's a lot of kids out there that don't have that. And that's too bad. So it's cool that you're doing that.
And it breaks my heart when you go to Angel Tree and some little kid has requested, like, socks and stuff.
I know. Usually when I get those ones, if I get one that's, like, underwear and socks, which happens, or if I'll get, like, a teenage girl and it'll be, like, they want bras, I will absolutely get them their item there. But then I'll also get them an extra something because I just want them to have something fun.
Yep. Do the same thing.
Well, I am not very excited about The Walking Dead tomorrow. I feel like it's too soon. I feel like it needs to be a few more months before the new episode came out. I am freaking out. I am so bad. I literally have a refresh going in my browser of fan forums as we continue to break apart the minute and 35 seconds that we have of the new episode. Like, is there a ring in the blood? Who has a ring? Oh my God, he said this. Does that mean it's so-and-so? Oh my God, it's crazy. So I am very excited. By the time everybody actually hears this episode, I will have already probably enjoyed the new episode. So I'm pretty excited about that. Extremely excited about that. So that's pretty much where all my focus has been on The Walking Dead. And I did unbox my loot crate, which was the horror theme this month. Got some really cool stuff. So I will share that video on the Geek Girls Facebook page so you guys can check it out. But there was also a Walking Dead item in there, so I was pretty excited about that. So that brings us to our patron update. Again, always just want to say thank you to all of our patrons, and your feedback is always welcome. All of you guys who are our patrons have received access to the Discord, to the Slack, and our Slack is starting to get active, so it's really exciting to be able to interact and get feedback on the episodes from you guys and get ideas. So please share that. If you are not currently a patron and you'd like to become one, you can do so at patreon.com/grills. And then we still have codes to give away for our listeners that sign up on Patreon to support us. So for a list of the game codes that are available, just check out geekgrills.com.
And if you want to help us for free, go ahead and go to iTunes and give us a review. It really does help us out, showing up better in search results. I see a couple people have gone and clicked that they like the reviews that are there, but just a minute to write a line about how much you love us would really help, because we do love you.
And where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, I can be found, this is Ember, at 9 of 12 on Twitter, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast.
And this is Loon. I can be found on Twitter at Chris Van Pelt, KrisVanPelt.
I am The Jen, and you can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter. I am streaming on twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. And feel free to give my Facebook page a like as well, facebook.com/TheJenPlays. I'm pretty much updating and posting everything I do there as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, and good game.
Well played. Good game.
Good game.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.
So I've got, it looks like
I put, I don't that even in. Oh no, yeah, no, okay. It's Hurricane Matthew, never mind.
Oh, did you take that out?
No, I don't know. The link I had just disappeared, but I have the story up if we want to.